Catch up on Husey and Kate in comfort and style with a pair of Skechers new Go Run Mojo trainers. See the range at Skechers.com.au.
I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? Gather round on the radio now for Husey and Kate.
The Husey and Kate Catch-Up.
Would you look at that? It says Thursday on the calendar, which means we get some tingles.
Well, I would take from that, I would deduce from that, Jack, that today's Thursday.
It is Thursday. I'm actually reading a book at the moment. The book is set in Galway.
In Ireland?
Yes, and that reminded me, my daughter's still singing old time, the old Galway girl song from Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yes. But she fell in love with an Englishman. Yes. That will not be happening on our show unless, of course, she comes in and catches sight of Jack Lawrence.
Yes, but she's only 7 and Jack is married with a child on the way.
Oh, I've got to tell you, a guy I used to work with years and years ago. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Husey and Katie. His uncle, great uncle, came from a country town.
Yeah.
And his best mate got married and had daughters.
Yes.
And he fell in love with one of the daughters.
Yes.
And wasn't allowed to marry the daughter. And he waited until the daughter got married and had a daughter.
And he married that daughter.
That's really strange. That's really strange, isn't it?
So
strange things in country towns.
An old man married a young woman.
Oh, sorry, no. He was in love with the woman. He was in love with the girl who married his best mate. And he waited till they had a daughter and then he married their daughter.
Not their granddaughter.
Not their granddaughter.
All right, that got really confused. Well, Mick Jagger's done something very similar.
But in a country town.
Is Mick Jagger, how old's Mick Jagger's wife?
78.
No, he's in his 70s and his new wife.
She's a ballerina. Is it the ballerina?
She's not married.
He doesn't have a wife.
She's about 50 years younger than him.
She raises the child in Paris or whatever and he's in.
All right, so they're not even together.
No, they're not together. He's not with anyone.
Isn't he? Well, you seem to know everything about Mick Jagger. Nothing about your mate of your. This guy's going to marry someone's granddaughter.
52 years his junior.
52 year age gap. Wow.
How old is she, Jack? So she's 23?
Anyway, she's young, 52. You can work doing the maths. We'll do it later. Hey, when we come back, we've got the Jack from Hungry Jack's on the show.
Yes, who we talked about the other day.
Yes, and he heard the conversation and he said, I want to come on.
Isn't that amazing?
We've got Hungry Jack.
Yes, which I didn't know was a real person.
Well, we're going to talk to him.
And also, if he owns all those fast food restaurants, why is he hungry?
Whatever. The name has stood the test of time. Right?
Yes, it has.
So when we come back, though.
And he's a billionaire. Let's ask for some hints for people.
How to become a billionaire.
Well, just general success.
Oh, good point,
General
Katie.
Success.
Love it.
Because some people have to tighten their belts. Not if you've just been to Hungry Jack's. Then you generally have to loosen it a notch. But let's find out what he knows.
When we come back, my son was outraged yesterday.
Raffy.
At something I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do this for him. And he was outraged.
Is it bad shoelaces?
Not shoelaces. I did his shoelaces this morning. Oh. I always do his shoelaces.
Oh, that's why we have Velcro in ours.
Oh, I know. Why do you ever get rid of it?
All right. Find out why Raffy was a bit annoyed.
Outraged.
Husey and Kate.
Outrage in the Hughes household.
Yeah, unjustified, I believe. Yesterday morning, Katie, you know my wife's working these days, which is great.
Yeah, she's very modern.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for her.
It's ruined my life, personally.
No, it hasn't ruined your life.
Well, you didn't get birthday cake on the day of your birthday. We had to wait.
But one day, and it was worth the wait because it was great character.
Worth it.
But yesterday, as she's going out the door, she basically says to me, by the way, Raf has head lice.
But she
said only a few eggs. And she pointed out the eggs, little dots.
Have you never seen them before?
It's like grains of sand.
Have you never seen them before? And they're sticky.
I said let's not worry about it. But Raf, you were outraged when I said that, weren't you?
Yeah, we're actually. We're
Hello, Raf.
Hi.
Hello.
They're highly contagious. And
yes.
We actually, you're not allowed to go to school with them.
No, you got them from someone with exactly your father's lax attitude, Raffy.
But I'm like,
you
don't
got
tell
them
anyone.
From someone who couldn't be bothered removing them from their child's hair. That's how you got them. And then if you go to school, then the whole thing just spreads.
Well, yeah, you're on his side here. But I'm like, we're under the pump here. We've got to make school lunches.
Mate, we're all under the pump.
We haven't got time.
We're all under
I'm not a
the
pest
pump.
Exterminator. So I had to go down to the supermarket, didn't I, Raph, and get you
Yeah, you did.
And get you
that
some quick knits.
The 10-minute
quick knits. We had much time.
We had a good year and a half in our house where we didn't have lice, and now they've just come back again. All four of the kids had them, even the high school kids. So the other night I was up till 10:30 at night combing through like a loser.
Oh, but the combing process, because we had to put it in his hair.
Yes.
And then you were not happy with my combing technique, were you, Raph?
Too rough, Raffy?
I didn't like the combing. It was like pulling your hair
out. Well, you should be glad you don't have long hair like Sunday or the girls.
So overall, though, I did a good job, didn't I, Raph?
Yeah.
What was he angry at you for?
He was angry because I didn't want to do it. I'm like, go to school with a couple of knits in your head.
I wouldn't have gone anyway, but it's actually a rule.
It's a rule.
Yeah, it is a
rule. Yeah, it's actually a rule.
But, Raffy, someone's broken that rule, haven't they? Or you wouldn't have gone
ahead lice. Have you any suspicion of who you got the head lice off, Raph?
Don't name names, but do you know who it was?
Nope.
You know what? I don't believe that. At school, you always know who the nitty kids are.
Now, I heard, like, I've actually...
What?
I've heard that head lice is going around, but I don't know who gave it to me, and I don't know who has it.
So you're right.
Watch out now. You might get the reputation as a nitty kid.
No, I think everyone gets nits. Nits are nothing to be... You're not ashamed of your nits, are you, Raph?
No.
No, but you don't want to be spreading them.
No, but he's not spreading them because we bloody did the treatment.
Good on you.
So even though you cried during the treatment, you'd get that treatment again, would you, Raph?
Yes, I would.
You know you've got to follow it up again.
When?
Within 7 days because... Some of them will hatch and you've got to get those ones that hatch or the ones that have laid eggs that you haven't seen yet.
Who's a better comber, me or your mother, Raph?
That's not good.
No, that isn't good.
No, it's not good. That's the life cycle of the lice, Raffy.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And also I've tried to kill them with hair tongs.
That sounds even worse than having the combing.
Yes, the hair tongs, that's burning them.
But think how silky your hair would look.
He hasn't got long hair. You'd be burning his skull. Handsome. You'd be right into his skull.
Silky locks.
Now, we wonder, Raph, and so you're not itching anymore, are you?
No, I'm not itching anymore.
Am I a better comber than your mother? I've asked you that question. Can you answer?
You're obviously not.
No, I am better. I'm less rough than your mother, aren't I?
I don't know. I don't normally get hair lice.
Yeah, well, no, but yes.
Good point to make, Raffy.
Last time, what? It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt last time.
No, who did it last time?
Mum.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. She wasn't around this time.
You know what we say,
Raffy? Kid.
Practice makes perfect.
We're going to ask if anyone is going to admit to having sent their kids to school with nits.
13 at 10:60. We can disguise your name if you want.
Yeah, we won't mention the school. Yeah. You can give your kids fake names. Have you actually done it? Knowingly, you know they've got nits and you go, whatever, off you go.
13 10:60. Did you send the kids to school with nits?
Kizzy and Kate.
We want you to admit that you've sent your kids to school with lice.
Lice, lice, baby.
We need to straighten up in here because we've been sent Hungry Jacks.
In anticipation of the man himself. Hungry Jack.
Coming into the show. So,
who's a real person.
But we need to put that to one side.
We will.
And don't eat. You've got sauce on your chin.
Have I?
Yes, you do. Use a napkin.
Oh,
please.
I love that.
My son got angry because I couldn't be bothered doing his knit treatment the other day.
You're not so familiar with this, but nothing gives you back aching exhaustion like when you realise your kids have got knits, which is normally at night. Yeah. And then you're just like, oh my God, I can't. I've got four of them.
Well, I had to run to the supermarket and get the quick.
Terrible.
Get the quick knits, and we got the job done, but I thought it was unnecessary. But anyway.
You want to send them to school without treatment.
Kylie, we asked for people to ring us and admit they've sent kids to school with knits, and we appreciate your bravery. You've done it, haven't you, Kylie?
I have indeed. But it was luckily when they weren't able to give me lip. So, not like Raf, where he knew he had knits.
So your children were so young, they couldn't even verbalise the fact they had knits.
Pretty much.
But weren't you worried, Kylie, that they would see, you know, the telltale scratching of a kid with lice? It's not like any other scratch.
Yes.
And weren't you worried that they'd be sent home and you'd be shamed?
I was concerned about that. However, I didn't receive a call, so I was willing to take
it more than once.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. And how long did you leave it, or did you leave it till the weekend, or do you just not treat them at all? Are you Typhoid Mary? Are you the original source of the outbreak of knits?
But they're healthy children, aren't they? I mean, they're not in care. They're with you. You've kept them alive, haven't you?
Look, they're not tormented. They're not scabies ridden or anything like that. It's just more a case of, you know, at the time I didn't have the time.
You were busy.
That night, but it was very annoying.
Yeah, but we appreciate you. And a lot of people are ringing up with treatments, basically. Kathy, you've got three children. Knits are apparent in your house?
Well, they were when they were younger. When they were in primary school, I had to do their treatment over and over, and it cost me a fortune. Oh, yeah. That's so expensive.
It is expensive, yes.
Anyway, so one morning, as they were about to walk out the door, my middle child, I saw that he had knits because he was scratching.
Yes.
And I was racing out the door because I'm a teacher.
Yep.
So I didn't have time to do it. So I just got some fly spray and sprayed his hair with fly spray. And I kid you not, it got rid of the knits.
What?
This could be changing Australia right there.
What?
I kid you not, it got rid of the knits. We never had knits again.
Oh, did it get rid of the kid? Or is it all right? It worked. Kid's all right?
The kid's fine. He just graduated from uni. So
yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, he's got through. It didn't affect his brain cells at all. Look, I don't think we can advocate that, but that's a story.
Well, it's interesting just for, you know, desperate times, which call for desperate measures.
A bit of fly spray.
Well, what about Natalie? What does she use on her kids?
Hi. I use Frontline. Not the tablet form, but the liquid form.
It's for dogs and cats, isn't it, mainly?
That's correct.
And what is the liquid? How do you do it?
I just put one drop on the back of their neck.
You're kidding. Yep. Well, if a dog can withstand it, obviously a child can withstand it.
There's actually less chemicals in Frontline than there is, say, Cases 24.
Hang on, what are we doing?
Natalie, I'm falling in love with you.
Dog treatment.
We're all hanging by a thread, mate. We all need help.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's easier than washing their hair and having them whinge while you comb it out. God, that is bloody really annoying.
Natalie, why hasn't someone marketed that for children? Best not answer that question.
Hey, let's move on. Is Rod going to straighten us up? What do you do for a job, Rod?
I'm a teacher.
Yeah, and are you suffering from knits yourself, or are you just seeing it in your class?
No, I see it in my class. One day prep kid, she had hair like that was like straw. It was just terrible. Anyway, she had more knits than the population in Japan.
Oh.
And so as a rule, yes, they have to go home. So I rang the office.
Yep.
The office said yes, we'll ring the mum. Anyway, I got a phone call back from the office and they said, oh, her mum's on the other side of town, she can't actually come and get her. Anyway, I got a phone call back about 10 minutes later. The person in the office saw the mum come back to school with an iPad charger for her other daughter, and she said that she wouldn't come pick her up.
Oh.
That is disgraceful.
Oh, poor little girl.
She's
hair like straw. Yeah, but mum wouldn't come pick her up.
Yeah, but they got an iPad, so.
Yeah, true.
Cusey and Kate.
Katie, remember we had the conversation where I'd done the show at the Sydney Opera House and there was celebrities in the audience?
Yes,
yeah?
That's right.
Let's revisit a bit of that conversation. There was a massive celebrity in my audience the other night.
Oh.
I rang my wife and said, honey.
There was.
Honey, not only was Shania Twain at my show, I was just talking to, you know, Jack from Hungry Jack's. You know what she said?
No, I don't know.
Did you tell him my first job was at Hungry Jack's?
Oh.
And you know what I said?
No.
I forgot. Well, I'm going to get the chance to tell him after this song because the Jack from Hungry Jack's is going to be on our show. Hence why we're eating Hungry Jack's burgers during the show quite unprofessionally.
But it tastes different when you know it's a real person. That there's a real Jack.
Well, Jack's coming up.
The Husey and Kate catch up. Husey and Kate.
Jack Cowan is the original Jack from Hungry Jack's. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Kate.
Well, you know, when Husey told me that he had met Hungry Jack, it had never occurred to me that you were a real person. I just thought it was, because I've been to America and I've seen the Burger King thing, and I just assumed it was part of that. I didn't realise it was you.
Kind of a cardboard cutout that they just kind of stuck in the office behind the desk.
I don't know, but here you are.
You didn't.
Still alive.
1971 was when it started. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when you first thought of the name, was it you that said we're going to use my name, or was it someone else? Or
no, it's a long, complicated story. But when we got started, we have an affiliation with an American company called Burger King.
Yeah.
And there was someone trading in Adelaide under that name, so we couldn't use that name. So we had to come up with another name. And so Hungry Jack, they were selling as pancakes and mashed potatoes in the U.S. So
yeah, right.
That name was available, so we took it. And the fact that my name was Jack may have, you know, it could have been Hungry Dave if my name was Dave, but it wasn't. It was Jack. So that may have had some influence on how it was chosen.
But before that, so I'm reading your bio here, that you opened the first KFC franchises in WA.
That was my first business, yeah.
All right. I've just got to share this with listeners because this is amazing. So you obviously got this idea. No one had done it before, so you didn't know if it would work. So you raised $10,000 from each of 30 people. This is December 1969 to launch the business. Their investment, their $10,000, Husey.
Yeah.
Now,
no, it was a number of
as of March 2006.
Yeah, so over 13 years ago, yeah.
Was worth.
Or 12 years ago, yeah.
$8.9 million. That's like people who go, oh, I bought Apple shares. That's amazing.
Well, I got a better story than that. I don't know when that, but today it'd be 25.
Yeah,
so, right. Yeah,
so that's a few years ago now. Yeah. So a few things have happened since then.
No, you've made a lot of good decisions, Jack. There's no doubt about that. Well, so, yeah.
And now, this is the thing. All right. So,
you have to take a risk. You have to take a risk. And now I was 25 years old, new country. My father had come here to work. He was sent here for 6 months, came back to Canada where I came from and said, if I was young again, I'd move to Australia. So it's kind of preconditioned.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so in North America in the mid-60s, the fast food business had arrived, hamburgers, chicken, and things like this. So I came here for 3 weeks in 1968, and first Sunday I was there, I stood in line at a Chinese restaurant, and they give you a little ticket, and an hour later they call your number out, and away you went.
So
you
didn't popular.
You didn't have to be Albert Einstein to say market need. If you could do something faster and with volume, there's a business. So I didn't have any money. I'm 25 years old.
Right.
So I go back and I got these people. I got, you know, I went people I knew, people I got introduced to and raised this money and moved to Perth. Started in Perth in 1969. Hungry Jack's followed in 1971. Got into the Domino's pizza business in the mid-80s. So you've been in many
businesses, haven't you? There's a lot of...
He's
hungry. He likes his food fast.
You owned a big section of Channel 10, didn't you, as well?
I did. When 1992, I and some others came in as shareholders. There was a Canadian guy by the name of Izzy Asper who kind of put the deal together. And so we put some money up, and that was a very successful business. And we saw it, you know, grow to great value. Went public, and I was fortunate enough that we kind of got out. And then over the subsequent probably 25 years, it met its demise, and now we're hoping for a revival that's going to take place.
Not as much as Husey is.
No, I mean, Jack's on the board.
Yeah.
I was no longer on the board. 22 years.
When he heard they'd renewed your show, Husey, he went, it's time to get out.
No, he did not.
No, no.
Jack Cowan, let me ask you this.
Yes.
So of your, you said you have to take a risk, but with all risks, there's a downside. So, and now you're very successful, but there must have been times where you went, where you've had failures.
Yeah.
Where things went wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, risk is a funny thing. You have to try and quantify where the danger is and what not to do. And for example, borrowing money is kind of the which brings a lot of people down. They borrow too much.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And I was lucky that in the 70s, the banks wouldn't lend us any money. So
right.
as a result
so you had
of
to
that,
do it
we had to generate through internal cash. And the, today, interest rates in the mid-70s went 27, 28%. And you can imagine what kind of havoc that would cause today.
That would have sent a lot of people broke back then. But so when you run businesses that are worth over $1 billion, do you sleep well at night?
I don't think it's a matter. I think the real secret in life is, do you enjoy what you do?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's being the, you obviously do, and I enjoy going to work every day, and it's fun, and I don't last too long lying on the beach, so I mean,
You like to be busy.
I like to be busy, and I like the interaction with people.
And I've got to tell my wife, her first job was at Hungry Jack's, so she was annoyed the other night that I didn't tell you the other night, so she started off Hungry Jack's, she had a good time. There you go.
What do you eat when you go to Hungry Jack's? Hungry Jack.
I'm a Whopper fanatic.
Yes, I'm a Whopper. I like a Whopper
every day. Yeah,
love a Whopper. Hughie drops a few Whoppers in the studio.
That's not poor. Jack, is there any chance you could bring back the Ocean Catch? The fish burger that you used to have.
Well, we'll look at that. That's one thing that we've kind of got out of
the business. You used to do it.
I do. Very good.
Hughie still misses it.
I still miss the Hungry Jack's Ocean Catch.
But we do have a vegan cheeseburger for the non-meat eaters.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very tasty. And Katie, you've just tried the Summer Burger.
Summer Burger. Jack and I just nailed those.
That's good.
Stunning. Yeah. With pineapple, which normally we were like, I don't know. Absolutely no second doubts.
Now, there's an ad that's come out. And this isn't an ad, by the way. Jack in because we're interested. But you've got a Japanese guy doing a song for you guys. That's true, isn't it?
This went online 24 hours ago. In the first 24 hours, 750,000 viewings on Facebook.
We've got a bit of
and plus Instagram,
We've got a little bit of it. A little bit of it, yeah.
Sure. I have pineapple. I have a Whopper. Whopper pineapple. I have a barbecue. I have a summer barbecue. Whopper pineapple. Summer barbecue.
From the guy, do you know the original of that, Hugh?
Yeah, vaguely, yes.
Pineapple, apple, pen.
Yeah, I think that's the sound of summer right there.
Love it. Well, Jack Cowan, you're intriguing. That's amazing. I'm happy to put a piece in the puzzle.
Now, before we let you go, Jack, you were at the Opera House with Shania Twain. Now, you sat next to her during the show the other night. Is that right?
I did not sit next to her, but I sat close by, and I had a good conversation with her. And I'm going to see her, like, not this Friday, but the following Friday, here in Sydney.
Fellow Canadian. Did she enjoy the comedy show?
She loved it. Thank God for that. Yeah. She's a little jet-lagged. She had arrived that morning, so she's probably a little tired, but I thought it was a great show, and I thought my wife and I both thought that you were probably the funniest guy of all that.
It's going on my poster. Going on my poster. Thanks, mate.
Jack Cowan, thanks for joining us.
The Hughie and Kate catch up.
Yeah, it's driving you home this afternoon. And hey, if you've ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes of the Hughie and Kate show, good news, season 2 of Behind the Show is online right now.
Good news for us, Jack.
Good news for me when the court case comes up and I sue you for... For just overall mental harassment. What's the word? What's the word when someone...
I don't know.
Workplace bullying.
But good luck in court.
So thanks to our partners at Canon Australia. Check it out on Facebook right now.
Yeah, Canon do a great job. Katie.
Yes, Hugh.
How are your eggs going? And I'm talking about the eggs in your larder. Do you have eggs in your larder?
Oh, my pantry. I don't have a pantry.
Put eggs in the fridge. Does everyone put eggs in the fridge?
Well, apparently you don't have to, but I don't know where else to keep them.
And we put them in the fridge.
I don't have enough room on the bench to keep eggs.
Go through a lot of eggs at our house.
Yeah, eggs are good.
Hey.
These from Happy Chickens.
Yes. But do you ever put them in the freezer?
What? Oh, you're not talking about chicken eggs.
Talk about women's eggs. And what is... Why is Tinder making more women put their eggs in the freezer? We're going to come back and talk to a woman who's frozen her eggs. Yes, we are going to do that.
All right, great. Don't go anywhere.
Husey and Kate catch up.
So why are dating apps like Tinder making women grab their books?
They're chickens.
No, they're chickens.
Grab their chickens.
No. Okay, grab their eggs and put them in the freezer.
So Tinder's doing that or dating apps are doing that?
Yeah, so...
Why are dating apps doing that?
Well, Dr. Baldwin, a medical sociologist at a university in Leicester, said the rise of dating apps may explain why egg freezing rates have more than quadrupled since 2010, despite the procedure costing up to $14,500.
But what's the connection? Why?
Well, he is saying that the digital revolution means that men are so happy with their little apps, being able to sit at home and swipe right whenever they like.
Oh, I see. It's to scan the horizon.
They feel they have no desire to settle down because it's turning the average Joe into some sort of rock star.
But
all you need is, you know, an XY chromosomes and there's women flocking to your Tinder apps. It's just I'm appalled by it.
But isn't the question then, so men don't want to have babies?
No, they don't.
As well.
They're looking for short-term disposable partners.
Really?
I mean, disposable. I'm not going to throw them in the river.
Once again, shout out to the robot dolls. They're coming.
No, but they can get real-life women. They don't need dolls.
Yeah, but if they don't want to run the course of a relationship... At all.
You're obsessed with these robot dolls.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, but it's not about robot dolls.
Well, I am, and one day you will be too.
I'm not going to be obsessed by
it. I think you will
I'm
be.
I'm not turned on by a robot doll.
You think you're not? You're
going to have to get a lot more lifelike than they are. I'm never going to be turned on by a robot doll. I want a real person. I've got a wife. She's, you know, no robot.
But she's a doll.
She's a doll. She's an absolute
doll. All right,
doll.
So girls are freezing their eggs because men don't want to settle down.
Yeah, have you ever frozen? You didn't freeze your eggs?
No.
Did you think about it?
No.
Didn't it? Not at all.
No, but luckily my husband was clucky when we got together. Otherwise I really just never even thought about it.
Because a lot of women, you know, I don't want to generalise here, but get to 30 and start panicking.
Yes, I know. Well, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't
care. I had 4 children and then I panicked.
Yeah, but so, but you...
But I do have girlfriends now who are like 30s and going... What am I going to do?
As you were banging out those 4 children, there would have been, or popping them out, they were just, bang, 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 4 in a row.
Yes.
Some of your female friends must have thought, what the hell is going on with that woman? Your fertility, you were so fertile. Do you know what I mean?
Well, but you know, nature is like that, Hugh, which is why it's a good that women can freeze their eggs now, because nature can be so cruel.
Yes.
But you just don't
know. But for others who didn't seem to care, like you, you couldn't have cared less.
Oh, well, I care now. I've got them.
I know you do, but before that, you weren't even considering it.
No.
God.
But that's just how the world works, isn't it?
Well, I know, but the world isn't fair.
No, the world's not fair. But I tell you what, if you freeze your eggs, you can make it a lot fairer for yourself down the track because you just give yourself the option of time that women normally don't have. Well, not normally. We don't have it. We know that that comes to a halt, whereas, as we were talking earlier about Mick Jagger, it doesn't seem to come to a halt quite as grindingly for men, particularly not if they're a rock star.
But there's talk. As I said, you don't have to be a rock star. You just have to have a phone these days as a man.
You seem to have thought about it quite a lot.
It makes me angry because I was...
You didn't have a phone.
I had a phone.
You didn't have options.
No, there wasn't dating apps when I was a single man.
No, there was just genuine... There was just face-to-face rejection.
It was just, absolutely. Yeah. Just me at the pub with the bouncer saying, stop staring at those girls. We want to hear from women who are freezing their eggs.
Yes, 13, 10, 60. Ladies, are you doing it? Are you freezing your eggs? We would love to chat with you.
If you went out with a girl and she told you that she had frozen her eggs.
That would relax me.
Yeah, right.
That would be, I think that's a...
Would that relax you, Jack?
Yeah, well, then you know there's no rush.
Yeah, right. That's
because what you don't want to do is waste the best years of a woman's life and then leave them.
Sorry, what are the best years of a woman's life?
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. The I'm best curious for, about
it. Not the. Well, all right, that was a poor choice of words.
It was. Wasn't
I was
it?
Trying to get to the out.
Yeah,
the,
right.
The fertile years.
Fertile years.
They're not the best
they
years.
They are. Apparently, they are. Yeah.
The Husey and Kate catch up. Husey and Kate.
It's been claimed that Tinder is the reason more and more women are freezing their eggs. So we want to talk to people who are freezing their eggs on 131060.
Yes, we do.
Because those dating apps encourage men not to settle down, an academic has claimed.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. It's ridiculous, but I mean, it's, I don't know what men are searching for. Find a good woman and stick with her, and she will reward you
with
years of long-term low-level happiness.
Exactly. And that's the dream.
That is the dream.
Now, how's this for Coincidental Wednesday? So the friend that we're about to talk to, Kelly Black.
Mm.
So I was just at lunch with her. We were at a girls' lunch with Sarge, producer of the year.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kelly about freezing her eggs. Then I come into work and you said come in late today.
We'll do the rundown without you.
Yeah, and then you have put on the board.
We just finished the board.
Freezing eggs.
Yeah, you walked in. We thought you'd be later than you were. And so, Kelly, you were at lunch with Kate. Was she well-behaved? Was she well-behaved at lunch?
Defined well-behaved.
Well,
you're hardly one to judge, KB. So, yeah, why are you asking Kelly?
Well, she didn't put any. Kate can throw hand grenades at luncheons and, like, just walk away from situations. She didn't do any of that?
No, she was in a nice little prime position at the top of the table and everybody, she was holding court and everybody was coming to her.
Was I?
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like queen.
There you go.
Like Queen Bee.
Yeah. So,
well, who was sitting opposite me, KB? You.
You, me, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're talking about the freezing of eggs and then Hughes has found this story. You know how we were discussing it?
Yep.
Tinder is making more women freeze their eggs because men don't want to settle down.
Do you think that's true, Kelly?
I think that men have a variety of entertainment now on their phones that perhaps they are not out hunting like they used to.
I agree. They think that they're having intimacy in that sense.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I've said this before. Pornography is stealing our men from us.
Yep.
And we don't quite know how to fight back.
Yep.
Only by drinking more, and that doesn't seem to be working, does it?
No. And I think they can get it on their phone. They don't really need to go out and kind of
bother
with a conversation anymore.
Your phone down is a great idea. I'm doing it myself, not in that way, but I'm putting your phone.
You have done that as well.
Putting your phone down in general is a very good thing to do. But
so KB, you froze your eggs 2 years ago.
Yeah. So I've been doing it for the last 2 years. I've done it four times because you need to do it. You need to do it a bit to get the numbers up. Yeah, so it takes a while. You don't really do it once. You have to do it multiple times.
And then do you have to take those hormones that make you produce multiple eggs?
Yeah, absolutely. So you only have one egg naturally, but when you do the cycle, hopefully you'll get anywhere between kind of 3 to 10.
Right.
And then they sit there for a day. Some of them might not survive because of the chromosomes and all that sort of stuff. So you want to get about 20 to have a bit of a contingency to play with.
Yeah,
so it takes a while. But it used to be about 15,000 a pop, but now there are people doing it where you're probably out of pocket about 2,500. So it's definitely worth
it. Right.
So, but you've,
but you also, you don't want to go to cut price egg freezers, do you?
No. It's all the same. Are they? And yeah, it's all the same. And it's they're now all in agreement that it's kind of money for jam. It's pretty easy to give you a prescription and get you to inject yourself for 14 days, and then you're under general anaesthetic for no more than 30 minutes, and then you're home.
Yep. So how long can they stay in the freezer? Is there a use by date on the eggs?
Until you're 55.
Yeah, right. So you've got
and then
a good
what happens?
30 years.
They won't give them to you after that.
Yeah, I've got 30 years.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. You've got 30 years.
Is that what they do?
They won't put an egg in you if you're over 55.
But then, what do they do with your eggs?
You can decide. You can donate them.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Right. But you can also,
if you don't do anything with them, you can then donate them as well.
Yeah. So have you got a year that you're thinking you're going to use them by a certain time, like in 5 years' time, or?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like a date. A date would be nice. No.
Well, good luck. Aww. Good luck, Kelly. All right. So her eggs would be really good eggs. Quality person. We have quality
lovely
eggs.
Lovely eggs.
Think about that, guys.
There's clever
woman,
eggs.
There's a woman out there with a stack of eggs ready to go. Carolyn, we've had people. Carolyn, this is a donation. You didn't donate. You didn't freeze your eggs. What did you do?
I just cut straight to the chase and had a baby by myself.
Donor sperm. When you say donor sperm, was it after a big night out at a bar, or was it?
No, well, I could have done that.
Right.
But you have to face the child and say, yeah, he could have been one of many from a bar.
Right.
So I mean, didn't want to do that, so it was an unknown.
It could just
donor.
Be one guy.
Wouldn't it have been one of many, Caroline?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I'm not but I decided not to do that, so I did an unknown donor.
Yeah, and that guy can find out though, can't he? Is that right?
My child, who was successful first go, when my child turns 18, they can contact one another.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
And how old's your child now?
She's 7.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you tell her? Do you say?
Oh yeah. She's grown up with the story, and as she gets older, she gets a little bit more details, and yeah, we're very proud.
And have you got another man in your life?
Not right now.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No. So, and I had her when I was 41. So, yeah. And, I did think about freezing my eggs, but it was more expensive then. It has dropped.
And also, I think it was trickier, wasn't it? It was tricky to freeze eggs. They had a lot of trouble getting it right.
That's right. The statistics were really low at that time, and it was much more expensive. So this is 8 years ago. And so, yeah, I went for this, which I'm very pleased I did.
Yeah, good. That is a good news story, Kate. And what we're hearing there is technology, in a way, is taking men away from women, but technology is also allowing women to not need men.
Uzi and Kate catch up.
The lights have been dim. The candles have been lit. Oh. It's time to get a tingle.
Have you ever heard a story that sends shivers down your spine?
She got told they'd been dead for 40 years.
And they never knew. Who started that fire?
What is this place?
Tingly Thursday.
Yes, close your eyes if you can. If not,
yes,
keep them open.
Yes, give us the reasons why you possibly can't close your eyes.
You're driving, you're walking, you're riding your bike.
Yep.
You're on public transport, you don't want someone to steal your purse.
You're on a tightrope.
Many, there could be other reasons. But we haven't got all day, so let's get to the story, Katie.
Lydia.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Long time listener.
First time tingler.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Love your show, guys.
Really appreciate that.
Good, good. And we love that you believe you have a tingle for us.
This is a goodie. This one's a really good one.
Great.
Okay.
Good.
Eyes are sharp.
Back in the 90s, I grew up in a family that that loved their cars more than their own kids.
Yep.
And when my brother turned 16, the old man, he bought him a car. It was an old shell. He went out remote New South Wales and bought him this car, and he built it up.
What sort of car was it?
It was a GT351. So Ford GT 351.
Right. You're a Ford family?
Well, they were. I'm not.
Right, okay.
He got the car. I got the nothing. And so Dad bought him this, and they worked on it together. He finally got his full license, took it out on the road. Every time we take it out, his car would break down. Back on the tow truck, came home, nothing wrong with it, start again, out on the road again, and it kept breaking down. It just constantly broke down. Anyway, so one day he sent me out to pick up his photos that he had taken of the car. So back then, the photos came on a film.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course they did.
The lady
showed them to me. She goes, are these your photos? I said, yeah, flicking through them. I go, yeah, these are the cars. Here's the motor. There's the shell. Here's the beast. And as I was flicking through the last photo of the whole entire car complete, this car was immaculate.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm going, strange. It's a really strange photo. Took a good look at it, and there was, in the driver's seat, there was a shadow of a lady holding onto the steering wheel with massive glasses.
Oh, I've got big tingles.
Gone home.
I'm tingling.
Showed my brother, and I've gone, look at the photos. I go, oh, yeah, my beast, you know, this car's amazing. Love it. It was the original colour. Everything he had done was original.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he took it out again. Now, I didn't tell him anything. I took it. He took it out again, came home. He's going, there's something wrong with this car. And I said, take a good look at this photo. He had a good look. There was a shadow of a lady in there. She had a mullet, reddish-brown hair with these big googly glasses. And he went, oh, you've got to be kidding me. There's something wrong here. So they went out, remote New South Wales, where they purchased it from, and they showed the guy. And he said, oh, so you've met Mary. Mary was the lady that owned the car, who died in the car. Ooh. She had a massive accident.
Ooh.
So the car was totaled. She passed away, and Mary was inside this car.
She's still in that car.
He said, that is Mary. Mary is in the car.
Ah, big tingles. I've gone everywhere.
Car came back. Within a week, we sold it off.
Ooh.
It was gone. There was Mary. No more Mary. There was no more car.
Mary was always going to be with that car.
Oh, Mary loved her car.
Oh, I didn't think about that. When people have car accidents, does their spirit stay in the car? Not always, I imagine, but certainly in that time.
A lot to think about, Husey. Just enjoy the tingle.
Husey and Kate.
Mm. I just got asked to turn the lights back on when I came back into the studio.
It's too bright.
You know what I said, though? Where are they?
Well, they don't always work.
So I've been walking in the studio every day for a year and I didn't know where the lights
were. It's like in any hotel room. Past, you know, 2010, it's like they're playing a trick on you.
Too many.
Where they hide the lights, where the light switches are, what turns what on.
Yeah, no, I don't want a hotel with too many lights.
It's like they
there's one in particular in Sydney which is just, I won't say it, but it drives me insane. There's about 100 different lights in the room and they've all got individual switches. And you've got to just walk around all night trying to find them.
Surely there's a master.
No, there's not.
Aren't you the master?
No, there isn't, Katie.
Anyway, turn the light off, please.
Oh.
The lights are flickering.
Flickering above your head.
Thursday.
You've got royal updates.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So I think we all know now that there is something going on.
A fight, a rift between Harry and William.
A cold war. And as you are often at pains to point out, it started with the women.
Right. Don't go anywhere. It's up next, Susie and Kate driving you home this afternoon.
We've missed a clue
that
we should have picked up on months ago.
Susie and Kate.
Royal news.
Oh, goodness. I can never remember ever having had an interest in the royal family before.
Harry and Meghan have really kicked it up.
Oh, absolutely. And because of the throwing the pebble into the pond, the ripples are causing a tsunami in Brazil. You know, like they're really gathering some momentum, those ripples.
Are they?
Oh, yes.
Give me evidence of what is going on.
To explain where we're at now, which is where we know that a lot of staff are leaving, that someone's leaking like a sieve about nutmeg from the royal quarters.
I feel like is she entering Trump in the White House territory, is she?
Well,
what's going on.
You know what? Because, and particularly after their visit to Australia, they couldn't have been more well received and they couldn't have been more gracious and charming as they made their way on an exhausting, particularly for royals who aren't used to working.
Well, your son
exhausting
met,
trip.
Your son shook the hand of Prince Harry.
So now I think they might be in the situation where maybe a Princess Diana-like situation. Loved by the public, but really hated by the courtiers behind the scene. And then what happens in that case? Anyway.
What does happen?
Well, we know what happened to Diana.
Well, I mean, that was an accident.
Mm. Was it?
Well,
do you think it was?
No.
No, I don't think it was either. Anyway, whatever. That's another.
You're saying that Meghan should not go in
cars. No, they can't do that again. They can't do that again. But here's the thing. They've been so tight-knit, Harry and his brother William.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Kate Middleton. They call themselves the Three Musketeers and they always went everywhere. And something's definitely happened since then. And maybe it's just that Harry's...
He's got a woman.
Yes.
She's his number one priority, not those two.
No.
Right.
And what a woman.
Oh, well, she was in the, she's an actress in Suits.
Exactly. She's an actress. She's an American.
Hmm.
She's a divorcee. She's now on her third religion. So she's a very chameleon-like.
What other religion she had?
I think she became a Jew to marry her Jewish husband. Now she's become Church of England. And I think she went to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Like, she's a chameleon. Yeah. She didn't have, she had one living relative at her wedding of 600 people. Like, it's a very interesting profile of a person. Do you know what I mean? Not like, not saying lots of people have trouble with their family or whatever, but just it's a very interesting profile of a person.
She's a rolling stone. She doesn't gather any moss.
Exactly. Anyway, so it's sort of like at first you think, oh, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it means nothing, but it's got so much momentum now. You're like, there's something going on. So you go back to the past, Husey. Now, do you remember when they four of them first sat down? Kate Middleton was still pregnant with a third forgotten child. And Meghan, it was her like her first proper thing with Prince Harry. And the four of them sat down and they were interviewed about their charitable works.
Yeah, vaguely remember it. Yeah.
All right. So some eagle-eyed person's gone back in light of what we know now that there's tension.
Yeah.
And found this moment. We're going to put the link.
Yeah, we'll put a video on Insta so you can see what
just
it looks like.
Just for people who are into body language and stuff, it's quite fascinating. Even the audio, listen here when the interviewer asks Harry and Meghan, Kate and William, if they ever have any disagreements.
Yeah. Working together as family, do you ever have disagreements about things?
Oh, yes. healthy disagreements.
Okay, the last thing you disagreed on, how do you resolve it?
I can't remember. They come so thick and fast.
That's Harry.
But
is it resolved? We don't know.
Oh, we don't know. Well, you're putting on a great show if it's not.
When you watch the footage, it is quite extraordinary.
So there is still a massive feud going on.
Oh, not even. It might be just a cold war. I don't think that they're, you know, jousting at dawn. But you know the permafrost that can exist, particularly between women. Sometimes women can be going at it and the other people in the room would not have a clue. But the two women involved know what's going on.
Do you think Kate wants to be friends with Meghan?
I don't know. But you've got to – okay, so listen to this. They completely sort of shut down after they're ho, 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 and they're looking away. Both girls look away. Kate looks at her husband and Meghan sort of reaches out and touches Harry's arm. And then Harry says this.
Working as family does have its challenges. Of course it does. Everybody here, the fact that everyone's laughing means that everybody knows exactly what it's like. Look, you know, we're stuck together for the rest of our lives, so.
This is true.
Togetherness at its finest.
Togetherness, yeah.
Whoa. There's massive issues there.
There's massive
Watch
issues.
What's that space?
And that was months ago.
That'll end up on Jerry Springer, I reckon. Is that show still going?
No, my love, no.
But imagine if it was and they went on it and just started ripping each other's hair out.
He could do the paternity test. Well,
The Husey and Kate catch up. Husey and Kate.
Here for your utter comfort this afternoon. It is Husey and Kate.
Just got the boss of Sony rock past Dennis Hanlon, Katie. Hanging out. Good times.
Lovely.
Lovely.
We just had a little impromptu quick party out in the...
Absolutely. Told him how we're Amy Shark's best mates. Because of Jack, our anchor, used to work with her at bloody the...
Gold Coast Titans, mate.
And then you tried to get your radio station
I did try and get the radio station to play her and they said, sorry, mate, you've got no pull around
Isn't
here.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing.
Well,
you still don't have any pull.
No, I know.
But they're playing. Now you keep at it.
Oh, Jack. We
going, well, hey, when we come back, Katie, I've got to tell you all about another feud. This one between Natalie Portman, who's just been in Australia.
Black Swan.
Loves Australia. And Jessica Simpson.
Oh, that Daisy Dukes.
Pocket rocket.
Daisy Dukes.
Yes. Why?
How have those two even interrupted each other's orbit?
Well, Natalie is talking smack about Jessica, and I'll tell you exactly what she said and how Jessica fired back.
Really?
Absolutely. It all involves involves bikinis.
Clapback?
Clapback. Yeah, your term. I didn't know what it meant. But
not mine.
Yeah. Oh, well, you love it.
Husey and Kate catch up.
Celebrity feuds be happening.
Welcome. What's happening with people?
Well, Natalie Portman, who'd just been in Australia.
What was she here for?
I don't know. She was somewhere.
She was here with her whole family.
I feel like the...
Her husband, the ballet dancer.
Yeah, I feel like... I think that she might have opened some...
Something.
I think in Melbourne...
A wound?
In Melbourne, they were trying to... They're trying to do something like the Met Gala.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they are too.
So I think the government's paying money.
Correct.
Paying
Why
money
would
to,
they?
I don't know.
Well, they can't, the Victorian government can't pay for the Logies, but they're paying for people to come from
Natalie
Hollywood.
Portman to turn up.
It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it seems strange. Maybe there's
wrong. Mind you, we're not the first people to go, government spends money on the strange things.
Mm, anyway, so she, Natalie Portman, who is also in Star Wars. And she's been in Black Swan, as you
Black
said.
Black Swan, have you got music from that?
No, I don't know.
No.
Can't get all the music.
Tchaikovsky?
Well, she did an article recently in a magazine, and she had a crack at Jessica Simpson. Remember this great song that she sung? One of the songs. Boots are made for walking, that's just what they'll do.
One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. No, I don't remember.
She was Daisy Duke. She was Daisy Duke in the remake of the, or the movie version of The Dukes of Hazzard. So this is Natalie talking about...
Wasn't she washing a car or something?
Yeah,
because she was in Top Nick, remember?
This is Natalie talking about her teenage years. This is here. This is Natalie. I remember being a teenager and there was Jessica Simpson on the cover of a magazine saying, "I'm a virgin," while wearing a bikini, and I was confused. Like, I don't know what this is trying to tell me as a woman, as a girl. She said that, Natalie said that to USA Today. So, interesting.
Is that the cause of a...
Yes, that is.
Is that a smackdown?
It is a smackdown. Absolutely, it's a smackdown. I believe it is. Like, you can't wear a bikini, otherwise you can't be a virgin and wear a bikini. That's what she's... That's what I believe that Natalie is saying. This is what Jessica has said back to Natalie. And Jessica isn't always the most... Jessica hasn't always been the most... didn't appear the smartest person.
Right.
For example, this is her talking about chicken or tuna.
Is this chicken what I have or is this fish? I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea. So stupid.
That's right. When she was on the Newlyweds.
So this is what she has
Nick
said.
With Nick Lachey.
What she's posted on her Instagram and Twitter to Natalie Portman. At Natalie Portman, I was disappointed this morning when I read that I confused you by wearing a bikini in a published photo taken of me when I was still a virgin in 1999.
Gee, she yelled.
As public figures, we both know our image is not totally in our control at all times and that the industry we work in often tries to define us and box us in.
She didn't write that.
However, I was taught to be myself and honour the different ways all women express themselves, which is why I believe then and I believe now that being sexy in a bikini and being proud of my body are not
body.
Body are not synonymous with having sex. It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot. And I put it to you, as we enter the summer period here in Australia, that there are women.
Hang on, let me guess. Are we going to get calls from girls about bikinis?
Yes.
It's amazing.
We want to get calls.
It's amazing.
Jack, what is the number here?
131060.
We want
women who what?
Who wear bikinis.
Don't say who are virgins.
Well, if you... Well, that's weird. No, not...
Well, otherwise it doesn't make sense. What do you mean women who wear bikinis?
Who wear bikinis but are not... Who don't...
Who are virgins?
Maybe monogamous... Maybe
celibate?
You know, not celibate. I mean, if any nuns want to ring us.
You want virgins.
I'm happy to get it.
Why don't you just admit you want virgins?
I'm not going to ask for virgins on the radio.
Doesn't matter where they come from.
I'm not going to.
They all want the virgins.
No, what I'm saying. What?
Well, otherwise it doesn't even make sense.
I'm saying for women who don't, who are not, I don't want to even use this term.
But what term? What term?
Who are not, who are like, who don't. It's hard
who are not
for me
promiscuous.
To...
Is that the term?
I don't like using that term.
That's why you haven't used it.
Yes.
I just had to guess.
Used it. Women who wear bikinis but don't necessarily.
Can I just point out to our listeners, this is what happens when I'm not at the meeting.
No, well.
Did you just cook this up? Jack, what did you say when he suggested
He's
this?
The boss. I just smile and nod.
Oh, don't you throw me under the bus. It's a good topic. We want to talk to women who wear bikinis.
Why can't we just talk to women who wear bikinis who are virgins and see if they see that these are...
I think that's very limited and it narrows down our age range and I don't like it. So... We want to
Maybe
talk to
not.
We want to talk to women. All right, I'm just going to put it out there. Are you a woman and you wear a bikini? Can you ring this radio station?
131060.
And it's not weird. Do you wear a bikini and you're a woman?
I still don't see.
Or maybe a man if you wear a bikini.
I still don't see that what Natalie Portman was saying.
Oh, I will we'll talk
maybe
to
Maybe she was being genuine and she said she was confused.
We want to hear from women who wear a bikini. Do you wear a bikini, Katie?
Oh, yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, well, you can talk then. When
and
we
I'm
come
a
back.
Virgin.
131060. Talk down to the Hilltop Books.
Want to talk to me, Husey?
No.
I've been untouched by men. But I look hot in my two-piece.
Husey and Kate.
Ladies, bikinis.
Yeah, and we're asking because Jessica Simpson is unhappy with Natalie Portman because Natalie Portman said this. I remember being a teenager and there was Jessica Simpson on the cover of a magazine saying I'm a virgin while wearing a bikini and I was confused. Like, I don't know what this is trying to tell me as a woman, as a girl. And I am on Jessica Simpson's side and I'm not happy with Natalie Portman. Rose, what would you like to say?
Yeah, look, I'm actually driving along the beach right now on the way home and I don't understand why wearing a bikini means that it's a sexualized outfit.
It's not.
It's a bathing suit. It's your choice. If you want to wear if you want to wear a bikini, it's hot, you're swimming, that sort of thing. I think the comment's a little bit confusing to associate promiscuity with wearing a two-piece.
And that is what Natalie Portman is doing.
Well, I don't know
Rose.
That she was.
Yes,
was
she was.
Do we understand what
yes,
she was saying?
Yes, she was. It was poor by Natalie
because
Portman.
Because she could have been talking about also was. Someone talking about their... About being a virgin, because that's also a weird thing to talk about on the cover of a magazine, isn't it?
Well,
but then she does throw in the bikini.
Absolutely,
she
does.
I take your point, Rose. Also, you realise that Husey would never be guilty of sexualising the bikini.
No. Yes, and I don't. I respect women's choices, Rose, and respect your choice. I think we'll go to Rebecca next. Rebecca, what would you like to say? Hey, Rebecca. What would you like to say?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rebecca.
What would you like to say?
Hi. No, look, I'm 18 years of age and I'm not sexually active and I've been wearing a bikini since I think as long as I've been able to fit in one.
Yep, there you go. And that's what we're saying to Natalie Portman. That
No.
Yes,
no. That was an odd thing to say, wasn't it?
That Natalie Portman said?
Yeah.
Yes, it was an odd thing to say. Absolutely. I mean, look at Rebecca, look at Rose, you know.
All right, Hannah. Oh, no, Hannah's on
Hannah.
The phone to someone.
No.
All right, what about Rachel? Hello, Rachel.
I'm slightly confused with this. I'm 44.
Yep.
I have about 25 bikinis and it's all I wear.
Yeah, so you...
What, even to work?
If I could, I would.
Yeah, but you...
Well, it's an odd thing.
You've got three babies. Are you in a monogamous relationship right now?
I'm happily divorced.
All right. Well, maybe that has got something to do with the bikini.
Well, they're not babies, they're teenagers, but that's all I wear, bikinis.
Yeah, but you're not rampant, are you?
What's being rampant got to do with it? Natalie Portman was talking about a virgin, which Rachel clearly is not.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with the fact that bikinis.
That's it from us this afternoon. Don't forget, Immersive Cinemas presents Dirty Dancing in Sydney and Melbourne. Tickets are on sale now from Ticketmaster, or you can win them,
HuseyandKate.com.au. So much to think about, people, isn't it?
Enjoy summer is all I want to say.
Tools down.
Wear what you want to wear.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Catch up on Husey and Kate in comfort and style with a pair of Skechers new Go Run Mojo trainers. See the range at Skechers.com.au. Want more Husey and Kate? Download the HIT app. Want access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hip.com.au.